in the series, and all, then I'll be quiet, is the Jean Renoir film The Crime of Monsieur Lang, which is an early Renoir and a brilliant film. And this is from the screening room, and I see the clock. There's a bright light shining behind it. I can't really read it, but I think we're off. This is WBAI-FM in New York, and thank you, Dred Scott Keyes, for doing my engineering. You've just come back from Europe. Maybe you'll tell the folks about your trip a bit.
WBAI seeks a visionary general manager who will take charge of overall operation, administration, programming, and financial activities of the station in accordance with the peace and social justice mission of the Pacifica Foundation, as well as FCC requirements and guidelines.
If interested in this position, please submit a cover letter and resume to Pacifica Foundation National Office, 2390 Champlain Street Northwest. That's CHAMPLAIN. Washington, D.C., 20009, Attention, Human Resource Director. The address again is 2390 Champlain Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20009, Attention, HR Director.
Further information can be found on WBAI.org.
Good evening. My name is Rayla Forrest. I'm co-chair of the Bylaws Revision Committee at WBAI. And tonight we have a special show. We apologize for not having the opportunity to announce it earlier. At this point, you will be hearing Gary Bird. What we hope to do is something, maybe it's not as entertaining, but hopefully entertaining enough and certainly educative and informative on both sides, meaning that we will learn a lot from you and hopefully you get some information from us. On the air with me today is Mike Beasley.
Mike Beasley?
Yes.
Mike Beasley, I'm a concerned citizen and a friend of WBAI.
Mike has been very active in the work of the Bylaws Revision Committee and before that, many of the activities to take back the station. Also on the phone with us is Brad Taylor, who similarly has been involved in many of the activities and recently, particularly the works of the WBAI Bylaws Revision Committee. As I said earlier, we were notified fairly recently that we could have this hour available to us, and we accepted the challenge. The rationale for having these two individuals here is because of they have ideas that are different in some ways from some of the notions that have been expounded so far, and also because I trust their independent thinking and their integrity in discussing and disagreeing sometimes with individuals fairly and in contributing into that process of having creating new set of bylaws that would protect the system from being hijacked in the future and allow for greater participation of the listeners and create a station that's overhaul would be more informative, able to raise funds on a much more efficient level and plays a greater role and is to a more direct extent truly representative of those communities. Tonight, I'm going to cut my remarks short. We really want it to be, again, an opportunity for the listeners to sign out, to tell us what they think of bylaw, what they've heard so far. Also, we'll tell you a little bit about what has been done, although very briefly. And for you to tell us, I would hope today also, what you know of these debates that we've been having both in meetings, mostly at District Council 1707, and specifically these air programs that we've been having, that hopefully in the future we'll be able to augment. At some point, hopefully soon, there's supposed to be a meeting between the co-chairs of the Bylaws Committee and hopefully the majority of the staff to discuss the need and importance for them to get involved in discussions like these. So I'm hoping that very soon this discussion will take place throughout the network at different hours, and that you'll be able to contribute. Now, we will hold ourselves to a minimum of interventions, keep them as short as possible, and I hope that you, the public, also will do the same, that you will not repeat what was said as much as possible, that you will resist the temptation to discuss programming rather than bylaw issues, and that we'll make room for as many people as possible. Mike, do you have any statement?
Yes, I'd like to... reason I'm here mainly is not to talk, but to listen. I want to find out from the listeners, especially if you don't come to meetings, okay, why you don't, and how can I implore you or beg you to come to meetings and participate? I think like Howard Jordan and a couple of the other programs today said, you got to get involved. A little piece, one night. You don't have to come every night like I do. You can come one night and then send your friends and neighbors to join in. But we need people to come out. We need fresh ideas. We have to pass the torch and spread the wealth. Thank you.
Brad.
Yes, I'm here, Ray.
Do you have anything to tell us at this point?
No, I would just agree with Mike that bringing more people into the meetings and bringing more people into this process of designing the governance structure for the network in the future it just couldn't be more important. And I echo Mike's feeling that although we're doing good in these meetings and I think the process is moving along well, we certainly want more and more people, and we want people from various community groups and various constituent groups around in the listening area to come and join us in this work.
Okay. This is WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. You are listening to a special edition of WBAI Bylaws Revision Committee. My name is Wella Forrest, co-chair of that committee. And I will say briefly, for those of you who might not be aware of what we're doing, that the WBI committee is a section, one of five other committees, a bylaw committees, which is a national organ group, which is chaired by Carol Spooner of a sister station, KPFA in Berkeley. We are operating independently of each other, but we do share information at different stages of discussions. At least 14 different meetings, most of them in New York City, but one in Brooklyn and one in New Jersey. The resolution that brought back the new leadership, the new board, to decided that there would be new bylaws written, that the bylaws would be written by this body made up of five members of the former of the labs, the existing labs, five members of the former majority, and five members of the so-called dissidents. This new 15-member board has, for tax, among other tasks, to rewrite completely the bylaws that guide the functioning, the power relation between different sections of this institution, Pacifica, that is so dear to us. Also, very important, the local advisory boards have a vote in the section that deal with the mode and type of elections. And three out of five of those labs, local advisory boards, will have to vote in favor of any resolution, the section of any resolution dealing with the type and mode of election, the timing of election, for those bylaws to be passed. And that's why we are looking forward to continuing very close work with the lab. Today we tried to reach some of them. We weren't able to get them. At this stage, last week, there were two draft bylaws that were released, bylaws A and B. A actually is the product of work done by our sister station, WPFW in Washington, D.C. And theoretically, at least, B represents primarily the work of KPFA out of Berkeley, but includes ideas from the other areas. However, I was a bit surprised to see that a major component of discussion at this time, namely the constituency mode, constituency model, was excluded from this draft. It is my position that the first draft of such an important document should include every essential, every important position represented by serious individuals. It is too early for us, so I will personally do whatever is necessary to bring this position and others that might be lacking into the debate. And if they have to be removed, they will have to be done as a result of very informed discussions. Okay, what we want to say to you is, besides what Mike just said, is personally I'm really interested in knowing what you know of these discussions also, and what you think of, you know, have you heard any of the bylaw shows, programming, and what do you think of them? Are they informative? Are they too abstract? What suggestion do you have concerning them? We'll take a short break, and this is WBAI 99.5 FM in New York.
C'est comme étant bien, sinon vacillant. C'est comme étant bien, que para gozo, iribo. Iribo, 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 iribo.
Okay, we're back. We're going to open the phone lines very almost right away. To call us, please, you can dial 212-209-2900. I'll repeat, 212-209-2900. And like either Brad or Mike have something to say, I'm ready to begin taking calls.
I'm ready to talk to the listeners.
I'm ready to talk to the listeners and listen to the listeners, and let's get it on.
Yeah, I would just echo what I would agree with what Ray was saying, that it is a conspicuous omission of the of Carol Spooner's bylaws draft proposal, that nothing about the constituency model and about the need to engage diverse groups of people based on ethnic background or gender or sexual orientation beyond the basic KPFA diversity requirement, which is in use now in Berkeley. is included there, which kind of excludes a lot of important work that's been done here in New York on that front.
Yes, clearly. And well, my position is that any major position that is a serious position should be represented in the first draft, clearly. I'm sure that Carol felt that including the KPFA way of addressing that problem of including people was enough. But I personally don't agree. Do we have any callers yet? Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, hello.
Yes.
Yes. My name is Mark from New Jersey.
How you doing, Mark?
Good. I was there when the hijacking took place the next day, the first rally, I was up there. Me and my wife were driving. We heard it. We drove straight to New York because we wanted to be part of that movement. My question is, if there's one thing, can you narrow it down to one thing or one law or one situation that allowed for that to happen?
The takeover?
Huh? Yes. Was there one particular something on the books or what was wrong with the previous bylaws before that allowed that thing to happen?
I could address that, Ray.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the situation before with the governance of the network was that In previous years, the various local governing boards had been stronger decision-making bodies. But as the time went along, there was a group of insiders from inside the networks, more and more centralized power in the hands of the national board. And that national board eventually moved to exclude governance stemming from the various station areas. And basically, the lab members from the various signal areas were somewhat asleep at the wheel and allowed the takeover to happen. And one interesting aspect of Carol Spooner's model is that she's very much decentralizing the power that way and replacing the decision-making authority in large part back to the various station boards.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, well, I would add to this, though, that this is, I don't think you can answer it with one segment. I think this is a very complex issue, and to me, clearly, what was lacking was a political commitment, the ability for the majority of the listeners to be involved with this process. To me, it doesn't matter how sharply this document is drawn, and it has to be made more precise, but we clearly have to get the listeners involved and defend the system.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Anybody else? Next caller? Okay, apparently we don't have anybody right now. So I hope that in the future we'll be able to have more notice as to when the show. I know Bernard is working on that. So we can announce not only to the people who listen to this program usually or come to meetings, but to people who listen to Guy Bird and others that who might be interested or inquiring as to what this could mean to the future of the system, that we do have a show indeed. Hello, we have somebody now. You on the air?
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm all right. Tell me whether or not this makes any sense. It seems that it wasn't the structure of the bylaws that caused the problem. It was those who didn't adhere to the bylaws that caused the problem. Because right now and before, The radio station is running fine on the current bylaws. I think instead of concentrating on changing the bylaws, that you just adhere to the bylaws, because I'm listening to all the good thoughts about the changing of the bylaws, but I went down there and saw the nonsense that went on, and it was the non-adherence to the bylaws that allowed the victory. So I don't think there's a real need to change the bylaws, but maybe you want to set up some type of mechanism to make sure that folks adhere to the bylaws.
Well, in a way, you're right. Except my position is that we have to combine both the point that Brian made earlier and my point. And so we're changing the bylaws to make participation a reality. So you're right. There were clearly violation of those bylaws committed by those individuals to not only take over, but abuse the finances of the institution and put us in red at the tune of more than $5 million. for a countless amount of individuals without justification or cause. But what we're trying to do is to make relations clearer, have a clear line of authority, and again, through the participation of, for example, have a local advisory board in each area that is elected and have those individuals truly represent those communities that make up WBAI.
Yeah, my name is Mike Beasley here. I think it's not just the fact that the bylaws, they were not tight enough. There were too many open holes. And if you look at the different versions and in the way Mr. Murdoch went along and changed it, you'll see there were big gaps and holes. Like, it's like a constitution without some of the first 10 amendments in it. Okay, the Bill of Rights. There were not certain key things in there that made sense and protected the mission. Two, okay, what we're going for now is trying to get in close to members, however that is defined, to be the final resort of any decision making, whether it's a sale of assets, change of the bylaws, or any major things. Right now, the bylaws, there are no people who subscribe have no part in the bylaws. They give money, but they have no power. What we're talking about now is how do we modify that so people who give money, support the station through either sweat equity or dollars, can have power to say you can't sell an asset, you can't change things, you can't do that without our vote. I disagree with Ray that the elections are the only way. Okay,
I didn't say that, by the way.
Now, I'm just saying there's another point of view. My point of view is appointments and appointed staff, the way it's been like for 40, 50 years, will work if you have this bylaws plus this empowerment of the listeners. And that's a whole discussion we're going to take up in another meeting.
Yeah. Brad?
Hello? Well, I would just mention that I think the caller is right in that the fact that there were governance structures, mainly the mission statement itself, which is part of the Articles of Incorporation for the Foundation, the fact that there was very strong legal language in place is the reason we were able to retake the network, because if there hadn't been for the vision of Lou Hill and the other people who founded the network in making those legal statements so strong originally, we wouldn't have had such a strong case in court.
Okay, we have a caller on the line.
Yes.
How you doing?
Hello there, Ray.
Hi.
Hi, very good to hear you and this show. I've heard a number of the other shows, and I participated quite a bit last year during the struggle to save the station.
Well, we're in good company here. It's third person.
Very good to hear this. I think, unfortunately, the timing of the show right now, the audience that you would be getting right now would be a lot of people who are maybe new to BAI, maybe Gary Bird-type people who were listeners from another station, perhaps. But hopefully we got enough of the, not as new listeners, let's say, people who are more familiar with things. But anyway, it's good to hear this show. And I think one of the things the previous speaker just said about how the listeners, members, and contributors had no say in the whole organization of Pacifica is very important. And that's one of the major things that the bylaws is going to be changing, to give a real role through the voting and elections and so forth to the listeners and members that they have never had before. It makes Pacifica into a true membership-type organization where contributors and members have an actual defined role in terms of how things are run or electing representatives to do things like on the lab. And that doesn't exist now. And that is one of the things, I think, that led to the ability of the takeover, the corporate takeover, and the coup at BAI. But some of the other things I think were also important. The bylaws, gradually as people came into the national board before and the bylaws were changed in 1998 in order to exclude the influence and role of the local station boards, and that proved to be, that was done in 98, I believe, and that proved to be very pivotal in allowing the takeover and the coup to happen later on once the local boards were excluded. So these new bylaw changes will definitely help bring back the local community influence and role in the station that led to some of the problems before, and especially the way the listeners will now have a real role, and that will help, I think, and in preventing problems in the future. My question, I'm sorry for all of that, but hopefully that helps other listeners understand a little bit.
Absolutely.
My question really relates to the constituency model. I've heard it discussed here and there, off and on. I haven't followed everything in close detail to understand this. But let me ask this. What it seems like we're debating around that issue is, in terms of the voting and the elections to the labs, will that be done only by actual members and contributors and volunteers to the stations on the one hand, versus will it be done by other people who are constituent members of some community groups who might not necessarily be contributors, donors, and volunteers of the stations.
Or even listeners.
Yeah, or even listeners. So that seems to be where it breaks down to me. Am I right about that? Or perhaps you guys could discuss the pluses and minuses or the sides of that particular issue.
I think the major problem with the constituency model is there are three or four versions of it, plus one that came up about 2 years ago on the West Coast, which really started the whole controversy. That one was based upon going out to so-called qualified organizations and selecting people to come on, not even within elections, but being appointed. It's called the Dittman model.
It's called a what model?
Dittman, D-I-T-T-M-A-N.
All right.
And that was where the word constituency first came about. If you look in the dictionary, anytime you elect a representative, you have a constituency.
Right.
Just by definition. So every model we have is a constituency model. The negative connotation has started with the Dittman on the West Coast, came over to the East Coast, and we got three or four different models between hybrids of bicommunals. But the real one I saw, which I think I believe in, if it could be done, if I believe in elections, is you go to a community and you do outreach. The people in the community pick their, in quotes, nominee who has to run an election, an open election. They pick their nominees. There might be two or three, Ray, Mike, and Brad from one community. The community picks us, different fractions, and we run for office maybe for one position. All right? So it's not the appointed model. It's going out and the way you gather
who
people.
Who votes?
Huh?
Who votes in that situation?
Oh, whatever situation. It's not a matter of so much the voting as the people participating in getting the candidates, the affirmative action part of it, reaching out.
Well, I would say that
I think both are important.
Yeah, well, this, by the way, the constituency model in New York has been evolving. I mean, there are different proponents of that view that have that presented, you know, widely diverging subsections of that model. Clearly, I was not going to discuss that already. You're welcome to do so. I'm aware. I wasn't here last week, but I'm aware of the fact that Joe K was here. It happened as a snafu, actually. And I completely respect both Joe and his views, and being an articulate presenter of those views. I just personally would prefer to have the discussion take place in presence of other individuals with different positions. So I imagine that the way to correct that, in next time we will have somebody from a different position talk about that for a similar amount of time. But basically, one of the differences is that some of the opponents of the constitution model feel that it would distort, that the intention might be good, but it would distort the process, the result. And on the other hand, the proponents of the constituency model feel that if you go about it in a very straight way, and you just go out and educate and do your best to inform people, that history has shown us, the practice has shown us that you will not achieve the expected result. And that in effect, what will happen is that some select group, selected by whatever means that they're more educated, they already have contact with the station, and so on, and that these individuals will be overrepresented, and that other individuals who are part of the system or should be will not be accessed. So the question now is, how far do you go, and how do you go about bringing those forces?
Right, but still the question of who gets to vote is kind of important. Can you guys address that in terms of the different suggested models?
Well, it's not only a long model, but generally there are some people who feel that you have to contribute something to Pacifica to be able to vote, either by giving at this point we're talking about $25 a year, or 3 hours, and that those 3 hours could be given in many forms, and that you could even give them through an other organization that is connected and is helping VA and Pacifica, that you don't necessarily have to do it directly for Pacifica. Some individuals feel that this is almost insulting, that this is a political tool, and that you don't put, I guess you could say, almost like a capitalist value on this, and that people should be deemed part of this by the very situated existence within the system that is exploiting them, and that they are part of the solution as being the exploited and the ones who are attacked by the system. Now, on the other hand...
Right.
Yes.
I was just going to say that I think that the two models of representation are actually not incompatible. I feel that you could have sectors of the governing board which the representatives of which come from both these two models. You could have a sector of the board members which are elected in the subscriber-based way, which is actually mandated by the court settlement, that we have to have elections. It is a legal requirement of our process that there would be elections. But I also think that those elected representatives could work hand-in-hand with representatives of various constituent communities, which are chosen in whatever way is convenient and useful and approved by these various constituency groups.
Did that make sense?
Yes, very good. I thank you for discussing that. And I also, again, thank you for the show tonight and whoever put it together. And hopefully we'll hear more of that. And
I can guarantee you that. Actually,
I will,
as I said earlier,
I will keep
really,
tuned.
Sorry.
I will keep tuned. Thank you
come
again.
Come to a meeting.
Let me make room for someone else.
Okay, so, great. Thank you.
Hello?
Yes.
This is someone else. This is Janice Kay. I just got home and turned on the radio, and there you all were.
Janice.
Yes. Well, has there been any discussion of the two structural frameworks that we were given by the other members of the board?
No. Actually, tonight we had planned to, you know, since actually as a body we didn't really look at them. I addressed one of them, Carol, the document B. Only briefly, within the context of a different discussion, to say that it had excluded a major aspect of the discussion, which was the constituency model. But we did not discuss them yet, no.
Oh, okay, because that really seems like that's what we've got to work from.
No, you're right. However, again, since it is a new hour with a different public, we felt that there should be preliminary discussion of what's happening. Also, hear from the members. And I'm saying that again, what have they heard so far from those shows, those programs, and the discussions? And do they feel they're adequate? How would they like to change them? And use a two-hour program maybe next time to discuss these issues that you mentioned in a more substantive way.
Yeah, I was speaking to the executive producer of Wake Up Call, Sharan Harper.
Yes.
And she said after the mini drive, they're going to devote quite a bit of time on Wake Up Call to this. So that's one thing we can look forward to. I was wondering, though, one thing I keep asking, and I don't know what you, and it sounds like there's Mike Beasley in there with you, am I correct?
Yes, no, Brad's on the phone, Brad Taylor.
And Brad,
oh, yeah, Brad. I thought that
Taylor.
Was Janice. Hi, Brad. I was wondering about people who don't come to the meetings, what their questions are. You know, I'm always saying I'd like to hear from the folks who aren't able to make the meetings. What do you all think about that?
Well, actually, like we did the last time, I don't know if you remember, two shows ago, Paul Sorovel had invited somebody who was active in BAS struggle but was not active in the discussion of bylaws at all, and he came to this room and he asked questions, made his opinion. I tried to do something similar, but the person I counted on was not able to do so.
Well,
so now we're going to rely...
I was thinking more in terms of just opening the phones up and asking the folks who come to the meetings to kind of sit back and let's all listen to what other listeners have to say.
Well, so far the three calls we got apparently are from people who haven't come to meetings.
Oh, the last person seemed to know quite a bit about what was going on, but okay.
They were all three very knowledgeable and very articulate callers.
Yeah, they seemed like they had been involved.
But not in bylaws meetings, I don't believe so.
Oh, okay. All right, well, do you all mind if I just sit in?
Whoops. I guess Dredd does.
There's another person.
There you are.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Good evening, everybody.
Hello.
How are you?
Pretty good, and you?
Okay. I have a thought here, and it was something that I kind of expressed at our last new producers meeting. Hi, Janice. This is Jeff. How are you?
Hi.
You know, would it not have been, or is it still possible, to have or to still set a date for when supporters and or listeners could by either mail or email submit, after having seen the two bylaw versions, their take on some of the central issues, and to have these submissions reviewed in such a way that there can be a real democratic consensus And I know it takes work. Sitting there and going through things is an unbelievable, tedious task. But it just seems to me that each time there is this kind of a discussion, there tends to be further impermanence and unsurety. And I think that if a while back we had said, look, if you are supportive of BAI and you're a listener of BAI, and one may be without the other, and there are some listeners who cannot afford subscription, but let us know your feedback. Get something to us by such and such a date. And to have a committee to go through those things and then attempt to draw up a real consensus type of bylaw. You know, I mean, I have nothing, I don't know the California station that well, because I'm here and I work here on BAI, and I'm sure that Ms. Spooner has all the greatest intentions in the world, but frankly, it seems to me that we keep on referring to one person out there or one station out there as the model.
Mm-hmm.
What troubles me is, and Janice, you remember I said this at the meeting, we're in New York City. We are not like any other place in the country or the world.
No, you're
and
right.
BAI is not like any other Pacifica station or any other station in the world. We have our own mix, our own communities, our own concerns, our own needs. And I could never understand why we didn't just say to the listeners, get us what you think by this date. If it comes in after this date, we can check it out. But if it comes in by this date, we can all sit down and read it and go through it and then come up with something. So I'll hang up. I'll let you all continue, and I'll hope to speak to you soon again.
Okay, Jeff.
Okay,
well,
thanks.
Maybe I'd like to tackle this a little bit. First, I personally do not think that...
Hello?
That... can you wait 1 second? That KPFA is the model for all of us. If you follow... I voted, for example, against moving this... the network to California at this stage, for other reasons, obviously. I mentioned Carol Spooner simply as the chair of that committee. The work we do here represents our independent work. We only consult with the others for the benefit of learning. And to tell you the truth, what you're suggesting is great, except, and we plan to do it in the form, except that people have to be, to know what they're discussing and what they're voting on. And that's what we're trying to do at this stage. And we still have some time to do so before we have a vote. Now, we have a bylaw. Earlier I said myself that this bylaw, the model bid which was presented by Carol Spooner was deficient. They're all deficient, and for me it's a major flaw. So it's just a question of at what point do you start having formal voting or informal voting?
Yeah, this is Mike Beasley. I think two things. One, we have tried open communication. We have people who have made up forms, assessment forms, questionnaires, tried to distribute them. We have people try to do mailings. You can't talk about something you don't know. You can't talk about something which is very new. There's no way to, except maybe through the radio, 24/7, is to get people involved and initiated and part of the process. So, yes, it sounds great. You go out mailings. No. Who's going to pay for the mailing? How do you know the responses? So it sounds good on paper. We've been trying to do a cooperative, open consensus model, and it's tough. It's not easy. That's why I'm sitting here begging people to come in and can join us. It's a lot of fun, and it's important.
Mm-hmm.
Two, the two models that were presented at the meeting, were on our, they had no feedback from us. I've been through two committees so far, the WBAI Exploratory Committee of the lab and also the WBAI Revisions Committee. And we have a lot more ideas and a lot more information on the website that you can go see with our minutes, our transcripts, and our documents, which are not included in these two documents. We've done a lot of work over the last 6 months by a lot of people. But the problem is, how do you pull it together in one spot? We thought Carol Spooner and the, in quote, staff up there would pull it together and have all our ideas. I am disappointed completely, because I saw this model almost two years ago when I was on the elections committee.
Well, one thing that's happened is we do have a hotline now, and people can call in on that. Did you mention that earlier?
No, but I was about to do so. No,
yeah.
First, I'd like to say that, for me personally at least, before we have those votes, I'd like to see the station truly have a substantial amount of producers involved in those discussions at different time of the day, different time of the week, and then I move, and as you say, we have a hotline that we give the number. We also, very importantly, We're in the process of developing a website specifically for giving such feedback that Brother Peter Kourakis is working on for us. Okay, this is WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM. You're listening to a special I guess, edition of the Bylaws Revision, WBI Bylaws Revision Committee's radio program with us tonight. I'm Ray LaForest, co-chair of that committee. The other co-chair is Janice K. Bryant, who just joined us. Also on the air is Mike Beasley, a regular attendee, participant in the discussion of the committee, and Brad Taylor, who's calling us from upstate New York, and is also, I'm sorry, not calling us, but he's on the phone participating with us. Unless any one of you has something to say, I'd like to move to the next call.
Well, I'm eager to hear the next caller, but I would just mention that I think the previous caller made a real good point in that we do need more coalescence between the various signal groups, because the fact we have a big group of an important group of activists and organizers here in New York who are proponents of the constituency model and who have done a lot of work to ensure diversity in our governance structures by developing that model. And for that model to be so little observed in Carol's model, I think just demonstrates that we're not in good touch with each other.
Right.
Yeah, well, that the process has to be corrected, clearly.
Exactly.
Wait 1 second. We seem to be having a little problem with our phone line there. Are we back? Okay, we're back. We had a hopefully minor glitch. Are you on, Brad? No. Okay. This is WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. My name is Ray LaForest, co-chair of the Bylaws Resolution Committee. We're having a discussion tonight. I personally would like to hear from you really as to what you feel is important to be included in the bylaws. Which are the documents that are going to regulate the functioning of the institution that is Pacifica and WBAI. I also would very much like to hear from those of you who have heard the previous programming, what you thought of them. And also would like to hear, if you have not heard, and any suggestion you have in terms of what time they should take place and any improvement in the format and the type of discussion we're having.
Hello?
Janice. Okay.
Yes.
We're trying to get... Not yet. We have the able services of the chief engineer here, but we're still having, I guess, we have to devote more of the fundraising resources to improving our equipment.
Since I can't sing and dance, I'd like to just implore everybody out that's listening and hearing this to please call in. I don't want to talk.
Hello?
I want to listen. I want to listen to what you have to say and what you have to offer. Thank you.
Okay, can we take calls now? Okay, before you say anything, hello, 1 second. This is WBAI. To call us, please, you can dial 212-219-2900. Okay, hello.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hi, this is Steve Brown. Hello, Ray.
Hello, Ray. Steve Brown.
Hey, everybody else is there.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I was very impressed with the way the people who espouse the constituency model have outlined the problems very nicely. I mean, I agree 100%. I just think the solution is worse than the problem they outlined. The difficulty is, as one of the listeners pointed out, who is it that's going to designate the supposed groups that are going to do the voting to provide the representative? That's really where the action is, and that's really where we have a breakdown of not only democracy, but of any kind of representation.
Hello?
Off to the side.
Breaking up.
Are you on a cell phone?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, go ahead. Let's try again, because we just lost you for a while there.
Where did you lose me? I don't want to...
Just at the end.
I simply said that what happens is that if you have groups who are designated by certain people who are not voted for, then all you do is have the same kind of self-appointed people controlling the station as you would have in 10 years ago. It's not a very good idea.
Fine, thanks. Well, maybe you can be the next person to, as you, if you heard the show earlier, you heard me say that Joker was on, and I personally prefer to have it done in a balanced way. So it looks like what we do this time is have considered Joe as one presentation and a short one, and have somebody else next time to do different presentation on different ways of looking at the problem. Thank you, Steve.
Good.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yes.
I'm a listener through the radio. I don't have a computer or email or what have you, and I depend on the radio and obviously the phone. I depend on the people that I listen to and I hear on the station, like Janice and the others that I've been hearing, and I appreciated the way you brought us the complete meetings that you did, even though it was a whole Saturday. I certainly did appreciate listening to it, because it gives me a chance to actually be part of what's going on without, as I said, a computer and the time to come to a meeting into Manhattan and things like this. And I appreciate shows like this, definitely, as somebody, as I said, I'm a longtime listener and supporter, and I appreciate what you're doing, and I do depend on the folks at WBAI letting me and other listeners know if they see something that they want corrected, because just like what happened with the coup and what have you, the only information I got was on the telephone and on the radio, and I depended on the people that had the air to let me know what was happening and where it was going. And I certainly appreciate people like Janice and the other folks that have taken the time to come to the station and to get it out on the airways. And I think whatever you can do in that vein, I certainly support it, and I want to thank you for it.
Okay, don't go. Can you add, I had said before, in terms of, can you tell us if you've heard any other programming on this, and if you have any suggestion in terms of improving them?
Well, yeah, I've been listening to whatever I can. Like I said, the day's programming that you have, I believe that voting, that the listeners should be able to vote. Whatever the mechanism is for that, it has to be by mail for people like myself. It's not going to be on a computer. But I do believe that voting, especially each station's constituency, I believe in participation. And whatever I can, I would like to feel that I'm part of what's ever going on. But I do have to depend on the people that I trust at the station for getting the message, like you're doing now, for getting the messages to me. And I would make my opinion on what I hear. And I think that that's helped me over the years. And it helped me through that period where the station wasn't, more or less doing what I believed it should have been doing. I depended on the folks that were getting through, depending on the phones. And I'm glad everything worked out the way it did. But I'm kind of, distant from the station. And my only connection is what we're doing right now.
Well,
and I certainly appreciate any effort that you can do to keep me involved at that level.
Well, this story is for all of us. Thank you for listening and
for your
remarks. One thing that you brought to our minds that we didn't mention before, which was a major element of our struggle in making it more difficult.
I am on the air.
Is that...
Hello?
Yes, one second. Is
but
that,
don't cut me off. Okay, go ahead.
Is that there was a gag rule in place. And to me, information is our source of power. And we were not able to get the information in the air and have discussion. And this can never happen again. Janice, go ahead. Was that Janice before?
No,
I'm sorry.
That is the caller.
Oh, go ahead.
Hi.
Yes.
Let me just turn my radio down. I just want to say that I have been listening, and I have not gone to the meetings. And just a couple of suggestions. When you... when that despot and that Miss Lee took over the station, I was out there trying to bring the station back. What I think that needs to be done, I think that you guys need to talk less when you come on.
Yes.
Give us an overview of what you discussed in the past. Just let us know what's going on. Because sometimes even you, not you personally, Ray, or you guys that are there, as a body, you tend to repeat yourselves. Once you've said it, you know, I'm intelligent enough to understand what you're saying and to come to my own decision. Number two, I really don't want to hear Miguel get up there and start bashing the program or WBAI or make it sound like he obviously wants a program for immigrants. That was his big thing the last time I tried to call. What I want to tell him, when he talks about immigrants, he needs to be careful, because if you ask the Okeson and the other Native Americans that are there about the immigrant representation, Miguel would get a whole different perspective. So he needs to just cut that out. If he wants to be a programmer, let him be a programmer. The other thing is, if in terms of people not attending the bylaws meeting, it would be good, Janice, you know how at the Obira Dempsey Center, when you, we were trying to get the station back, you have things to do in the day on a Saturday? Janice? Hello?
I think we lost her.
Oh, you lost her?
But make your suggestion.
Yeah. Maybe we need to try different times of the day to do this, because most of it seems to be after work. And if you're not getting the participation, then maybe we need to change our strategy. Maybe have a meeting during the day. It's not strictly self-serving for me, but I can certainly come during the day, just like I volunteer during the day. So if that's not working in the evenings, maybe we should try something during the day.
I agree.
Okay.
Well, I can give you some feedback on this. Part of our problem is that our group has been, there's been a lot of disagreement in many of our meetings.
Uh-huh.
So therefore, it has made it more important to have the bodies that are legally, formally responsible for this process, which are the representative of the board and the lab. So really, at this point, it's very important to have the lab participate more, because that is really the source of energy that can be available to this process. If there was a general consensus and that nobody would go to a meeting and say something that differs completely what somebody else thinks in the same process, we would be able to go out in much more freely and have the process done much more informally. That is part of the reason why. So at this point, we're really pushing to have the lab participate to a greater extent. That's been a perennial problem, actually. Now, in terms of what you mentioned earlier, part of the reason we discuss things over is because we have the feeling that, although you might have heard this program some other time, that we have 200,000 listeners.
Uh-huh.
And that I suspect that if you, at least that's why I was asking people, have you heard this program before? And how many of them? And if the answer is that they have not, because they don't listen at other time when we are programming, if we start a discussion without a background, they would be lost then. We've also been told that they want a background, a context for the discussion.
Right.
And that's why there's a tension between giving that context and being repetitive, you're right, on the one hand, and not doing it, and have people discussing very freely without really knowing what the issues are completely.
Right. That's fair. However, see, that's the problem with democracy. You can't satisfy everybody. You know what I'm saying? And if that's the case, you would need a 24-hour show in order to do that, because people would always be joining the discussion.
Yes.
So I think we need to get to some point where, you know, we don't have, not that I don't want to hear you guys, believe me, and I'm on your side, believe me, but I'm just saying, after a while, it gets boring. People keep repeating the same thing. And I like to reiterate, you know, you guys don't have to comment. I don't know you. You don't know me. But I get Miguel with his sarcasm about, you know,
well,
immigrant...
Miguel is not here, so maybe we can...
Right.
Okay.
But I think it just got a little bit out of hand. And Janice was gracious enough to call and say, you know, let's cooperate. Because he does reach a lot of people. Let's just cooperate and look as if we were a unified body. So the now dissidents that are out there won't see us fighting amongst ourselves. But other than that, you guys are doing a great job. And you dedicated a lot of personal time. And I greatly appreciate it. I love the station. And I want us to keep it, you know?
Absolutely.
So I will have maybe try doing the meetings at different times.
That's
during the day,
suggestion.
During the week.
Absolutely.
Invite your friends and neighbors to come.
You know what? Absolutely. Okay. That's the thing.
Kids. And your kids especially.
No, they're too young.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Okay.
Well, we had, at least one meeting on Saturday, and and clearly that's one of the tactics that we have to use. Thank you very much.
Yeah, but don't do it during democracy now, because you won't see me. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks. All right, this is WBAI, 99.9 FM in New York. You on the air?
Yeah, hi, Ray LaForest.
How you doing?
Okay, thanks for the show.
Thank you.
Could you, like the gentleman that called earlier that doesn't have the ability to use email, could you guys, because the clock's running down on this complex process, just get something printed and people could, if they want, send in a self-addressed stamped envelope on who is on the board right now, names and whether or not they're producers, as opposed to people like you and Miguel?
You mean the national board?
Well, even the local board. I was in November and December when Rashida and someone else was voted in, and there was a bit of a abstention at the vote because resumes weren't given out and this and that. And I've been with BAA for years, and I'm not really clear myself how many are on a local board. what their names are, what they're doing. And, you know, this could be done on a sheet of paper. I mean, I gave $50 for a, quote, mini drive for the transmitter out west. I mean, I would put a self-addressed stamped envelope in the mail to have something like that. I'd like to know where we are right now, even as we go tromping off on, you know, the future. How many are on the board?
Well, nominally...
How many are right now?
Yeah, there are 16 people nominally, but effectively only 11 has been participating actively. One member, John Cohen, has been very ill. He's been in
and out
of hospital.
Can you guys get this on a sheet of paper?
What it is, it's the question is how it's becoming available. At this point, for example, we have a... We have a box, a P.O. box at the station, and it's...
The Colonial Park address?
W-B-A... No, that's for the lab.
That one was given out by the co-chair. Madam co-chair for a few carts said, if you would like to reach the local advisory board, please write to box blah, 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 Colonial Park, whatever, whatever.
Yes. I happen not to have the address with me now.
But what I'm saying is, like, isn't that the site where it should emanate from? Because I really think the local advisory board should be independent of the station. I mean, I've heard old nonsense recently about mail not getting to Bernard White, you know, from hearing callers on the air.
Okay. Well, I don't value. All I'm saying is that I'm a member of the lab. However, tonight I'm doing
But I'm saying if there's 16 people on the board,
can
and
I finish?
Know who they are.
Can I finish?
Easy.
Right now I'm doing the business of the bylaws resolution committee, and I did not bring that information. Mike is trying to find it. I'll be glad to provide it.
No.
But this is what I'm saying.
Get it done, not to give it over the air to me right now. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Next caller.
All right. Next caller, please.
Hello?
Yes. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I think that it's extremely important to keep it as democratic as possible. Now, there are, as was said, some listeners are not contributors, but I do think that all listeners, whether contributors or not, should be able to vote on issues. And I was also thinking that if you had some kind of a first of all, do carts, like, let's say 24 hours a day so all people can hear them at any hour. And about, let's say if you had a sheet of paper and it had things on it so we can get involved. It could say, what do you think about this? Do you like our programming? What program would you like? Your suggestion, blah, 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 blah. And if anyone wanted to, they would send in their own self-addressed stamped envelope so that there's not a big deal sending these papers to people. They can write their information down, you know, how they're really feeling about things. I just think that it has to be democratic. Otherwise, that's what the station is all about, the community.
We agree with that. There's some disagreement as to how you achieve it, actually. But you're right. We want inclusion. We want people to have participation. We want an informed participation.
Otherwise,
people vote their fears, their prejudices, their impressions. And it is clear that the discussion process is taking place in a formal way, in meetings where we can take votes and so on, but that it is crucial, to me at least, that we have the producers. And this is the key. This is a major way to magnify the effort and reach people, as somebody suggested earlier, young woman calling, if we have different producers doing it. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the bylaw committee doesn't have to involve formally, except maybe as facilitators, as coordinator of events to make sure, for example, we don't have five shows one day or one week and none the next week and so on. So we could keep a log of which individuals are ready to discuss issues, and maybe if somebody is interested in one aspect, national board, the next one could discuss who's being elected. So we could be like a facilitator within that process.
You know what else, Ray? If you're having questions in your mind, let's say you have a question about how do the listeners feel and the subscribers feel about the democratic process, how do they feel about this and that, you could print up a sheet, and that sheet could be available if they sent in an envelope, and then they would write their ideas about each thing, and then you would get a real feeling as to how they feel. Of course, the person would have to send their envelope in, you know, and a lot of people probably wouldn't take the time to do that.
Okay. Yeah, no, I agree 100%. Part of the problem, truly, also, is that it's been a very difficult battle. We've been fighting on all fronts, and as we're learning more and more, everybody are learning, hopefully, that these things are never done by individuals, and it takes all of us
That's right.
to do it properly.
Yes.
But at this stage, maybe I shouldn't announce it now because we're running out of time. We do have a P.O. box for this committee, and you can write to WBAI, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10015, and the box is 36. And we also are in the process of getting a phone number for the listeners, so you can call, make suggestions, find out when events are taking place. We're almost out of time. Do we have time for one more call?
Bye.